Good morning, Christ Center. It's Tuesday, October 14th, and we are in week 6 of our Book of Mark devotional series. Today, we're going to be reading Mark 10, verses 13 through 31. But before we begin, let's take a moment to quiet our hearts as we invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 10:13 through 31. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." After taking them in his arms, he laid his hands on them and blessed them. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these from my youth." Looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But he was dismayed by this demand, and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astonished at his words. Again, Jesus said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." They were even more astonished, saying to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, because all things are possible with God." Peter began to tell him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus said, "there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more. Now at this time, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers and fields with persecutions, and eternal life in the age to come. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first."
Thank you, Carly. Well read. And this is a sad passage. We're also here with my friend Paul Allen. Say hello, Paul Allen.
Hey, how's it going?
Paul is a YWAM missionary in Madison, Wisconsin, and I asked him to join us. Paul, you were immediately, as you read this, noticing the contrast between the first part of this reading with the children and the rich young ruler.
Yeah, it's to me interesting because the rich young ruler is essentially saying, "What must I do to enter the kingdom of God?" And Jesus actually had just answered that question by the way he interacts with the kids. He says, "Unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you will never enter it."
What's different with their attitude than the rich young ruler's attitude?
I think to me, you know, I've worked a lot with kids over the years. I worked with orphans and street kids in India in particular. And I just look at their generosity that they have towards others, their love for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was particularly reminded of a kid that I met in India. He's a 10-year-old street kid. His name was Chota. And we were like house moms and dads for him with our outreach team. And one day he came running down the stairs. He just lost a tooth. He's so excited to show us the tooth. And I said, "You know, what are you going to do with it? Have you heard of the tooth fairy?" He'd never heard of the tooth fairy. And so the next morning I go up with him and we look under his pillow together. And of course the tooth fairy had left him 5 rupees. And he was so excited. I have this picture of him revealing the 5 rupees and just this big grin and one of his friends behind him with a blanket pretending to be the tooth fairy. And I said, "You know, what are you going to do with the 5 rupees? And he said, "Well, I'm going to go to the store." But then he goes to all the other kids and he says, "What do you want from the store? And what do you want? And what do you want?" And runs off to the store and he comes back with an armful of snacks to pass out to all the other kids. And then he says, look, Paul, uncle, I have 1 rupee left. And I said, well, what's that for? And he says, this is for the church offering.
That's so cool. That's so cool. He's not attached to what he's just been given.
No. I think he's not attached to it. And he also sees it as, you know, he has received freely, therefore give freely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, you know, when you see all that you have is really a gift from God, then you begin to see the people around you and you see what I have is a way to give right. to others as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's clear the rich young ruler did not see that. The thought of giving his possessions away was too much for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Carly, what are you seeing?
In a different translation down when Jesus is talking to the ruler and he says, go sell all you have, give to the poor. In a different translation, it says, then all your treasure will be in heaven. So I just, that stuck out to me as like, it wasn't that he was only focused on earth. He had treasure in heaven. He was keeping some law,
right.
But there was that one thing that was like, just the sticking place that he couldn't get past.
And
yeah, that's,
and that might be different for different people.
Oh, for sure.
That thing that's dearest to us that we might not want to give up.
Yeah, whatever you treasure. Like some people it's money, some people it's
power.
Yeah, or image.
Right.
Whatever
right.
it is.
Or sexual freedom, or like there's so many things you could have, like this is a thing and this is mine. I don't want to give this up.
Yeah, it's whatever it is that grieves you when Jesus asks you to set it down.
Yeah. And for this one, this definitely was money. You know what's interesting is culturally, to be a wealthy man was to, like, people had the assumption that you were godly. You can even see that in the disciples' response when Jesus says, how hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom. The disciples were astonished. They're like, what, are you serious? What? Like, that can't be, because that's what was there. And he's saying, no, really. And then he goes on to say this thing about the eye of the needle. And by the way, this is a thing, there's always been this story that's told about this actual gate in Jerusalem where a camel had to sort, you had to take off all the stuff for the camel for him to get through the gate. That gate was built in the Middle Ages. So that whole anecdote, it's a cool sounding anecdote, but that's not what Jesus is saying here. That didn't exist then. So that it doesn't, the story doesn't really work. Jesus is clearly saying, only with God is this possible. Riches, like many other things, have a way of sticking to a man's soul. And you have to be so careful. He gives, the book of James does this too, really gives us a caution here. Do not desire to accumulate wealth, because it can have a horribly detrimental effect. It can stick to you. You might not want to give it up. And Jesus says, only with God it possible for a rich man to be saved. That's true with all of us. Only with God is it possible for any of us to be saved.
To me, I'm really struck by the way that this conversation begins with the rich young ruler, where he says, good teacher.
Yeah.
And Jesus comes back with, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And then the rich young ruler responds, teacher. And it's like he missed the most important thing that Jesus was really trying to provoke him with here.
It's more like rabbinical sparring, like we talked about with the Syrophoenician woman. It's like, oh, that's interesting. You just called me good. That's interesting. Only, you know... So he's hoping he would pick that up, but you're saying he didn't pick that up.
He missed it. He missed it. And then, you know, he goes on, what good thing must I do?
Right.
And Jesus, in essence, is saying, listen, I am eternal life, and I'm right here. Everything you need for eternal life is right here. Do you see it in me?
Yeah.
And
it would mean walking away from these things so that you could be with me, and he wasn't willing to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope he made it.
Yeah.
Like, I hope he saw it later on, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know what happened to this guy.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, Paul, we're going to close. Would you mind just praying a short blessing over us today?
Sure. So, Father, we just thank you for the beauty of your Son and what we see in Mark here. And we just pray for each one of us that, Father, you would help us to identify those things that we hold near and dear to our hearts, and yet sometimes they eclipse our longing and interest in you. We pray that you would become the deepest treasure of every one of our hearts. May we come to you like little kids and follow you with all that we are. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.